This is tape two of the August Benson interview, side one. When the last tape ended, we were talking about the International Club, and you were saying that some of the international problems spilled over with that, that you saw evidence of that. What do you think the benefits were for MSU students?
Well, there were many opportunities for them to relate to foreign students in classes, or in we had a wide range of financial and cultural activities with Nigerian. You have one big international festival, but with displays of all of their cultural artifacts, but then you had individual ones. And then, of course, I think that many of the American students who began thinking of overseas tourists themselves began to look more carefully at the resources that were available here.
Okay. Do you know at which point the university started emphasizing study abroad? Or were they done that earlier for MSU students to study abroad?
Yeah, I think that's been going for quite a while now. I know that the president gave it added impetus. And in fact, maybe that represented the additional funding, which has always been a limiting factor in American students studying abroad. We had a comparison one time. We were talking about foreign students, American students. Well, the foreign students are primarily graduate students and primarily male. American students going abroad were primarily undergraduates and primarily female. It's just the relationship was limited.
Yeah, I think that's continued. It really is. Yeah. My daughter had taken a study abroad, and there were 20 women and 3 men when they went to England and Scotland. So a few years ago. How long did you ultimately work here at the university?
Well, I worked here from, I first worked here from 56 to 60.
In the ROTC?
Yeah.
And then on staff?
Then from 64 to 83.
83, okay. So. Were you teaching any courses during that time? What were some of the courses you taught?
I wasn't teaching regular courses, but I was filling in for a number of the professors in guidance and counseling in college of education.
Okay. What was your main interest in your teaching?
It was primarily a guidance and counseling area, but also management.
Okay.
Because I had taught management in the Air Force program.
Did you do anything in business at business college, or?
Yeah, I took a minor in management there when I was getting my master's in guidance and counseling. In fact, I had the opportunity to teach there, and I didn't take it because I was overcommitted, trying to finish my own and a job. We tried to. Orientation for students involved orientation while they're still home before they came over so they know what to expect, and then on arrival so that they're fairly informed. But we tried to do something like that with the faculty here to inform them and advise them of some of the important features of foreign students being here.
And you oriented MSU faculty.
Yeah. Okay. That some of that had to do with money and lending money to students, and talking to the immigration office. They don't want all faculty members calling down there.
Right.
And what have you. So we did the best we could. Could have done more, but.
in after your retirement, or let's say maybe talk about what were some of the ways that you and your family were involved in local community activities?
Well, I should say I have another career after leaving the university.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in investing.
Okay.
I had been investing for about 50 years, but I never had time to work at it till I retired from the university, and I formed two investment clubs, one aggressive and one conservative. And then
this is after you left the university?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I did my own investing and invested some for my kids and stuff. And I've been working at that more or less full time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been rewarding.
Mm-hmm.
And most of those in the investment club are affiliated with the university.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. We have
so you kept those contacts?
Larry Summers, uh-huh. I don't know.
Okay, yeah.
Larry,
yeah.
And
I've interviewed Dr.
Summers.
Half
a dozen.
Uh-huh.
More, yeah.
Uh-huh.
It was
probably
a great club. It was all professional people. Mm-hmm. We could all afford $100 a month.
Uh-huh.
It built up to $500,000.
Wow.
And then the market went down, you know.
Uh-huh.
But it's been building back up
yeah.
again.
Yeah. Or it never would do that. Would it go down?
Oh. It goes down. That's when you have some opportunities.
Yeah. So you did it as recreation and also
no,
and
not,
investment.
Not really recreation, though. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It was fun. Because I had an interest in business.
Mm-hmm. Were there ways that you were involved in local community activities besides the job? Anything that you
well,
were?
Yeah, we went to St. Thomas Aquinas.
Mm-hmm.
Had been there for the same number of years plus.
Mm-hmm.
And I got involved with Jack Shingleton.
Okay.
I managed his campaign when he ran for the board.
Oh, you did? Okay. A reluctant candidate at first, at
yeah,
least as I recall what he said.
This Walter Johnson and I, the fellow I mentioned to you, we were sitting in a meeting where Jack Shingleton was talking, one of the speakers. We were talking about the board, and we said, like, Jack, wouldn't he make a good potential board member? Because he really knows the campus, so forth. But everybody who's ever graduated from Michigan State has gone through the placement office.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so they know when his name shows up. And then we joked about the time, at that time, because I think the governor only won by about 8,000 votes the first time
mm-hmm.
he ran. And that's those votes were probably what Jack brought in from all these.
Yeah, it's Governor Engler.
Yeah.
Have you had any contact with the university since you've retired?
Yeah, I have. I have been maintaining contact with my successor,
okay.
David Horner.
Okay.
And I have met his successor. Briggs, I think his name is.
Okay.
But we have moved. That's a critical mm-hmm. factor. That's
okay.
changed.
You left the East Lansing area?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Chicago.
We have two daughters in the Chicago area.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. What?
You kept your football tickets?
Yeah, yeah. We got
all the way from Chicago.
I got to know Judd Heathcote
uh-huh. mm-hmm.
because when he first came here, he had some foreign ball players.
Mm-hmm.
He had a big Swede who was 7 foot tall. He only stayed 1 year.
Mm.
But he had some others, and they all came through my office, as all the hockey players from Canada do.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. So you had some contact
so
with
we've
Coach Heathcote?
Yeah, we yeah.
And the development fund. You're
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
We participated in John Hanna's memorial, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So the statue, you've seen the statue.
Yeah, we came for it.
Uh-huh.
We came for them.
That's great. In looking back at your career here at Michigan State, is there anything that stands out as maybe being most important? Any I know that's a tough question.
Yeah, we covered a lot of ground, and I think the thing that we're most determined was that we would be considered part of the academic process and work with the professors and department chairmen and deans even. And sometimes when you work with a professor, he's later the department chairman and so on. So we did a lot. We could have done more, but we did a lot to maintain our relationship to the academic side of it. And I can think of a number of times when I've called a dean or assistant dean and where they've dropped a student, and finally find out that, well, there are avenues where he could be retained and given a further shot at that degree. Mm-hmm. And so I felt good about our relationship with the departments and the other offices on campus, because we spent a lot of time working with the financial office, with the housing office, and a range of others.
In your travels since you retired and left the university, have you encountered any students that you you had some influence on their experience here, or did you encounter any?
Well, I encountered more earlier when I was abroad, like in Mexico City and Merida down in the Yucatan area, but also in Taiwan and Taipei and Japan and Philippines. We actually met with students. In fact, areas that is left undone and that we would like to see more done is with our foreign alumni. Mm-hmm. And it never has been raised very high in the order of priority. And we all felt that we could, by working with professors who were going abroad, that there could be a contact when they get over there. Mm-hmm. And because we've got a lot of people that do go abroad. Mm-hmm. And of course it's hard. They try and use foreign alumni to raise funds, and that's a tough one. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very tough.
Did you anticipate when you came to Michigan State that you would be here during for as long as you were?
No. Sure didn't. After we'd been here a couple of years, I said when we left, said that if we came back and if we could find a decent job here. And this job just happened to come up. And Homer Higbee was a fine person to work for. We related very, very well. And Ralph Smuckler was another one. And a lot of social life.
Sounds like you found that decent job.
Yeah.
Well, I'd like to thank you on behalf of the project, and really appreciate your insight and perspective. Thank you.
Well, we have, Michigan State essentially has been a leader in this foreign student business. And as I said, earlier in trying to focus more on the academic, not so much on social activity and stuff mm-hmm. like that, mm-hmm. and in the form of organization also, and in their ability to try and work with immigration instead of against immigration. Mm-hmm. So state is from this part here, because this became the Bible, the first Bible, mm-hmm. for all foreign student advisors. And Homer was looked at as a first prophet.
Sounds like it was seminal work.
Yeah.
Thank you.